May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Seated. You all seem so far away somehow.
Gosh.
So I don't suppose any one of us has ever acted impulsively in our lives, have we? Never? No, you've never. Of course not. Sure. None of us had. Right. Not a single right. Well, we all have. We all, at one point or another, we act impulsively in our life, and we continue doing this. Of course, that's the whole problem, isn't it? In my own life, thinking about it, impulsively deciding things, or what on the surface seemed to be impulse, have had both the best and the worst results, strangely enough. The best, when what I thought I was doing impulsively was actually following the lead of the Holy Spirit, actually resulted, it seems, in some of the best results in decision making. But strangely enough, really, really following impulses and following the lead of the human will and following personal desire has really had, well, the worst results in decision making in my life. And I think maybe if we were honest and kind of looked at our lives in retrospect, we might find something like the same with each one of us. My father used to have a test, and I think I may have shared this with you before. I often share it with people if they come to me for any kind of counsel. I use my dad's same formula. He was a guidance counselor, as I know I've told some of you. And if I ever had a pressing problem that I came to him with and we talked, he'd at the end up saying, well, how do you feel about it in your gut? I mean, how does your conscience, how does the core of your being, how do you react to this? And strangely enough, it seemed like it often has had a good, it was a good yardstick for me to consider. If we think about the leading of the will, the leading of the human will, when we're led by our own desires, led by our own will to do something that's contrary to God's will, well, we might get what you might call comfort of body. We might actually get something that we desire, our body might desire, or something that seems to be profitable to us in some reason, in some way or another, that might come to us. We might even rationalize our way to doing something like that, you know, being led by our own will rather than God's will. We might be able to rationalize our way to it, so our body is okay with it usually, and our mind might make its way there eventually. We might, you know, make good arguments for those actions. But yet our conscience or our gut might act up. Have you ever had that? Ever have that happen to you? Sure, we've all had that. We want to follow something. There's something nice and shiny that we want, but we know we shouldn't do that, or whatever. Or we see a path to take that we know we shouldn't, or we see a path we know our better conscience tells us we should take, but we decide not to, and our conscience, our gut, might act up to this. On the flip side of this, really, the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is sometimes contrary to our own will, contrary to our own desires, following the lead of the Holy Spirit has a whole other set of results. We might actually run up to things that are very, very different from what we just saw on that other list there. We might have actual discomfort of body or discomfort of our desires. It might mean seeing that shiny thing that's so nice to go after, but refusing it, rejecting it, right? Might mean turning down something that might give us momentary comfort or momentary pleasure even. Sometimes we can't even understand the action entirely rationally. It seems like, you know, if all other things being equal, we should do this action or we should or not do this other action. And yet, really in the end, something down deep inside might tell us. Our gut, our conscience might be very settled about doing it. Perhaps you know what I mean here. The one I think of these immediately, frankly, following the lead of the Holy Spirit, which seemed like impulse at the time, I remember sitting, I think I've shared this with you before, sitting in my car on my cell phone on the street in Troy, New York, talking to Bishop Ackerman, it seems so many years ago. And when he finally asked me these words, he just said, "Do you feel called to Galesburg?" And at the time, it seemed very impulsive for me just to say yes. And I knew I was going to have to go tell Shelley in a minute that I just said yes. It seemed very impulsive, but yet it was something that she and I had been obviously praying about and approaching for a long time. It wasn't quite as impulsive. It was going to mean some certain things that were going to be difficult transition perhaps. And in some ways we didn't understand entirely rationally why we were doing that, but yet our conscience was very settled about it. Perhaps we can all think of times in our life when we've done things like that, or to the contrary, not done things like that, and we followed our own will. In today's Gospel, maybe you noticed that, in today's Gospel, in the second chapter of St. Matthew, we heard just the 19th through 23rd verses today. And this is the return from Egypt for the Holy Family. Okay, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph have been in Egypt. This is kind of the completion of a long series. If you get the chance, when you get home, go open up your New Testament to Matthew's Gospel. Go to the second chapter and take a look at those verses from about 13 to 23. It's a very short piece. You can sit down and have a cup of tea or something with it tonight or whatever. Just look at a very short verse, a very, very short portion of that chapter, and you'll see the story in its entirety. Starting back in the 13th verse, Jesus has been born, the wise men have come and gone. Now, of course, we're still waiting for the Epiphany, which is this coming Wednesday, so we'll hear the wise men again on Wednesday. But the angel has warned Joseph that he can't stick around in that region because Herod is out to get the children. And he's heard word of a king, and he wants to take out all the Hebrew children beneath the age of 2 years old. Okay, so this angel warns Joseph, and in 2:14, the Holy Family go to, this is chapter 2, verse 14, they go to Egypt. Okay, chapter 2, verse 16, we hear about Herod actually doing that filthy, filthy act and slaying all the male children under the age of 2 years old in Bethlehem and the area all around. This is what we heard, those of you who were at Mass on the Feast of Holy Innocents on Monday, we heard that Gospel read, didn't we? Well, in 2:19, where our Gospel picks up today, Herod has died. And the Holy Family is called to return back to Israel. Okay, back from Egypt. Alright? And as we find out there, because Herod's son is now on the throne, Joseph is a little iffy about doing this, but he's assured by an angel of what they're doing, and he's directed to go to Nazareth. Well, they've made this trip from, well, to Bethlehem in the first place, where Jesus would be born, in fact, following the lead of the Holy Spirit. And then they flee at the message of an angel. They flee into Egypt. They flee south. It's a long ways away to go. Take a look at your map if you have one in the Bible. So they flee from Bethlehem all the way down into Egypt. It's quite a fall. And then back after who knows how long, they come back. And they don't just stop where they left from. They keep on going north into the region of Galilee and settle in the village of Nazareth. Now, Joseph has a wife and a newborn son. Okay, and they flee all the way into Egypt. It's a long, hard journey. They couldn't just go get their Amtrak tickets, you know, down at the station and hop. That didn't work. It wasn't very easy. They didn't just hop on a caravan either, or, you know, hail a passing wagon or something. It was probably a journey on foot or on horseback or with a donkey or something. Very, very difficult, long journey through a not very hospitable country, following, you know, some trade routes and things. A very difficult journey. And each one of these travels, going down there and then coming back, in a sense, is to fulfill prophecy. Each one of these, the flight into Egypt is fulfilled so that the prophecy might be fulfilled, out of Egypt have I called my son. Indeed, they go and do that at God's will. They flee to Egypt. The way back, they end up going to Nazareth, as we read today. It's a prophecy that we're not entirely certain which prophecy is being pointed at there, so that he might be called a Nazarene. And it might be that it's something of a play on the original words is our best bet, that there's another word there that's being used. But the leading of the Holy Spirit, once again, they're led north to Nazareth. I mean, they could have just resisted. I mean, Joseph could have said, that's crazy. I'm not going to Egypt. I'm not going to go anywhere near that far. We'll just duck off. We'll go back, you know, somewhere a little bit farther away, but out of the region where Herod has any control, and we'll hang loose for a bit, and we're just going to avoid him. Could have done that. Would have been much easier than just, you know, packing up the whole family with a newborn and going all the way to Egypt. Would have been much easier. The second time around, they could have just stayed in Egypt. You consider that. I mean, it would have been very easy, perhaps, for Joseph just to say, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to get some work here and make a life for ourselves rather than another long trip back up to the north of Israel with wife and child by foot all the way across, you know, inhospitable terrain. But yet they go to these specific places, really, against their comfort. He doesn't say no, does he? Indeed, he follows the leading of the Holy Spirit. They go to Egypt against their comfort. They come back from Egypt, go back up to Nazareth, of all places, against their comfort. And you see, God calls us, in the same way, so many times, out of our comfort. Okay, right where we've established our comfort, he calls us out of this at times. I mean, comfort of a place, perhaps. You know, we've all, many of us have had the opportunity, or didn't seem like an opportunity at the time, to move from place to place. Sometimes, perhaps, at the calling of God. Maybe he calls us out of comfort of activity, you know, changing jobs, or changing vocations, or changing what one is doing within that particular job or vocation. And perhaps most importantly, or if not most importantly, most commonly, God calls us out of the comfort of the moment. Have you ever noticed that? He might just call us out of the comfort of the moment to call us to be a servant or handmaid. Does he call us out of what we're currently doing any given day? At work, at home, shopping, wherever you happen to be, with family, with friends, might he call you out of the comfort of that moment that you have to maybe witness, to be a faithful witness for his son? Might there be times when he calls you out of the comfort of the moment to proclaim the gospel in whatever small way? Might that be the case? Might he ever call you out of the comfort of any given moment to act in charity? Sometimes that can be very discomforting when one has to do those things. When one might stand up for one's belief, it can be very uncomfortable, can't it? It can be very uncomfortable sometimes to act in charity, to give a cup of cool water to somebody who's in need, to go out of one's way to exercise charity. Might he call us out of the comfort of the moment to reach out to those who most need the hand of Christ at any given moment? That can call us out of our comfort as well. And sometimes we run into people who just need the touch of Christ. And you know what? We're the only hands he has right now. So sometimes he might be calling you out of your comfort to act for him. It's very easy to ignore those times when the call comes, isn't it? Because we're comfortable. We're very comfortable doing what we're doing and not having to act out, not having to reach out, not having to speak up. It'd be very easy not to do that. Comfort is, well, comforting, isn't it? But only for so long. A long time ago, Pope St. Clement I, he was the fourth bishop of Rome. Actually, he was a disciple of Saints Peter and Paul, both. Pope St. Clement the Rome, he died in about the year 101 A.D. He wrote, "Christians belong to no earthly country, and this enables us to scorn all earthly possessions." Christians belong to no earthly country, and this enables us to scorn all earthly possessions. Well, really, we're citizens of the United States, of course, but really our home is in heaven, as we know. We have a foot in this world, but our other foot should be firmly planted on another shore, shouldn't it? We are citizens of another place, of another kingdom. Indeed, our concern should not be to have comfort in this life so much as it is to, in many ways, make it comfortable for others, to proclaim Christ for others, to do his will in all that we undertake, which at times can make us very uncomfortable. But yet this nature, by the very nature of being a citizen, not of this world, this allows us to make decisions not based on our wallet, make decisions not based on our possessions or on our comfort or on our desire, you see, but rather to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, as we hear once again in the Gospel today. God's faithful people following not after their own comfort, but following the lead of the Holy Spirit, even when it leads in places they would not expect, to do things they would not normally do. Following the lead of the Holy Spirit, which is exactly what we are called to do, even as we seek to follow Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Father, who with the Father in the unity of the same Holy Spirit lives and reigns ever, one God, world without end.